T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bye week is here, and we're still here for a day or two anyway. Good afternoon, and welcome to One Bills Live. Welcome to One Bills Drive, New Era Field, right next door. It's a beautiful, sunny autumn day in western New York here in Orchard Park. It's not hot. It's not cold. It's perfect, actually. Blue skies. Stadium looks great if you're watching on the MSG side. And welcome to our show. John Murphy and Steve Tasker in our Seneca studio at One Bills Drive. Here for the next 3 hours, as we said, out in Orchard Park inside the Ed Pro Sports Training Center in the Seneca studios. Happy to be here with you here today. Steve, you good?
Yeah, I am good. I actually, I'm not sleeping well the last couple of nights. I think main reason is because I'm excited about the weekend, the bye week.
Yeah.
I got stuff going on, and I hope that's the reason. I was not like caffeine. I've been pounded caffeine.
I've seen a lot of caffeine go down.
I might have to. I'm drinking water today. Hopefully that'll help.
Not sleeping well. And what impact might that have on today's program?
Well, I might get a little cranky, but other than that, it'll be normal because I'm not usually cranky.
So you might get a little cranky. Isn't that the way you approach each day?
You might not notice, actually.
Exactly.
There's a difference, right?
Exactly. So. Welcome to the show. Steve is here. Might get a little cranky. We are forewarned. And forewarned is forearmed. So we got a good show. We got a trade to talk about. We got a bye week to talk about. We got the rest of the NFL to talk about. And we have Cal Brandt to talk with. Cal Brandt, NFL Network host. He is the host of Good Morning Football, joins us at 1 o'clock today. We're putting together the rest of the show as we go along, so stay tuned. We only have 3 shows this week, and this is number 2. We're here tomorrow, noon to 3, and just make your plans now. Thursday and Friday, we are off because of the bye week, and there's nobody here at One Bills Drive these days. Players are scattered. Coaches scattering. Much of the staff is going to be gone Thursday and Friday, including us. So, we won't have a show Thursday, Friday. Make your plans now. All those things you've been meaning to do, instead you get caught up in our show. Work around the house, maybe paint a few bedrooms around the house. Whatever you've got on your to-do list, whatever, because I got stuff that I'm going to get done this weekend, Thursday, Friday. But whatever you've got, Thursday and Friday, the day to do it, because you won't be compelled to watch or listen to our show anymore.
I think, interestingly enough, there's a lot to talk about. We had the Monday night football game last night, Browns and the 49ers. 49ers looked pretty good, and the Browns didn't. A lot of layers to that. And then during the game, and it's one of the things I like about today's culture we live in. During the game, you find out Zay Jones got traded to the Oakland Raiders. I'm trying to watch the Monday night football game between the Niners and the Browns, and I'm also trying to keep track of the Saves game, right? And the Saves are on this rampage comeback. They score. They pull the goal.
I'm not being rude here. I'm looking for your text from trade last night.
They pulled the goalie and scored to tie it up, and then lost it in overtime. It was a nice comeback victory. I remember I said, boom, Zay Jones.
Here it is.
Zay to Oakland.
8:51 last night. Boom, Capitals. Zay gone to Oakland for a fifth from Steve Tasker to myself and Jay Harris, our producer.
I like Zay, all of us kind of thought like they're going to do something. And the Duke Williams call up last weekend, thought, well, maybe it will, maybe they're not. They got Robert Foster on the roster. Isaiah McKenzie's getting like 18 to, he's getting between 3% and 18% of the snaps. You know, Cole Beasley and John Brown are going to be on the field. Now Duke Williams took almost all of Zay Jones' snaps and was in there and made some catches. And you thought, gosh, are they going to do something? Then all these teams, you know, you got all these names out there that are trying, you know, the Trent Williams, the tackle from Washington. A.J. Green is now being hotly contested around the league, thinking they're going to do something with him because Cincinnati's season's going nowhere, and he's a 31-year-old receiver starting to get injured a little bit. He might be out there available. All these guys that people are – these and Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville, who's a great player, who wants out of there. All this stuff's going on, and you think, well, gosh – you know, Zay Jones, you package him up, what's going to happen? And they end up trading him to Oakland for a fifth-round pick. And, of course, right away, they take a little heat trading a second-round guy who you traded up to get 3 years later for a fifth rounder.
2 years.
2 years later for a fifth rounder. Well, this is his third year, right?
Right.
Right. So
it was the draft of 2017.
Right.
So two and a half years.
And you're thinking, you know, and I get it too. I was disappointed it didn't work for him here.
Me too. You know, well, let's talk about that. The Zay Jones trade happened last night, and it's not official yet. They're waiting for the Raiders, I guess, to announce it. They get the Bills trade Zay Jones to the Raiders for a fifth rounder. Has not been officially made yet. Chris Mortensen reports it. That's good enough for all of us. But, yeah, so draft, 2017 draft, and you know the setup then. Sean McDermott was here. Brandon Bean was not. And the Bills in need of a wide receiver, a compliment at the time for Sammy Watkins.
Right.
Went to East Carolina and drafted this amazingly productive receiver, Zay Jones. I mean, he had a ton of catches in college at East Carolina. He was amazing, productive at East Carolina. Came here, had a decent rookie year, and last year he was the leading receiver on the team, 56 catches a year ago. And yet, there was always something missing, right, from Zay Jones. And especially this year, when the Bills' ranks improved with the addition of Cole Beasley and the addition of John Brown, and then the emergence of Duke Williams, plus, you know, some others still on the roster. Andre Roberts takes a roster spot at wide receiver, even though he's mostly a special teamer. Zay Jones became expendable. He was essentially the third wide receiver the first four games this year, and then this past Sunday he got one snap. One snap! That was like a red flag. We talked about it yesterday. A red flag. One snap for Zay Jones in Sunday's win at Tennessee. You know, Chris Brown, we sat there and talked with Chris about it last week, and Chris, or yesterday rather, and Chris said, you know, watch that. There's something going on there. And I think most of us, me included, thought, you know, Zay might be released. They get a fifth rounder from him, which is something. It's some value,
yes.
And that's okay.
It's not
but
nothing.
You're right. You have to go back to the 2017 draft and see that they traded up to get a guy, and they expected more from him, quite frankly.
He was drafted to be the number two guy. He was not drafted as a number one wide receiver. Last year, he ended up leading the team in receptions because of the way the offense was going last year, the struggles with the offensive line and everything else piled on top of it, four different starting quarterbacks, and it goes on and on. He ended up being the top guy, mostly, in my opinion, because he played the most snaps last year. But he was never drafted to be a number one guy. And quite frankly, the offense – around him in the receiver room, in the running back room, in the tight end room, got better. Everybody got better around him, and I think they outgrew their need for Zay and got to a point where they liked who they had other than him. And I'll tell you this, too. The one statistic that gets you is Zay's catch ratio for the times he was targeted was not good. He didn't catch enough of the targets he got. And then he plugged Duke Williams in. He only got targeted four times. He caught all four. That's kind of the statistic that, for me, is like when you go to a guy, particularly a guy who's going to be your number three, number four, like Duke Williams is going to be, like Zay Jones was, when you go to him, you got to have him catch those. And Duke Williams, that was what he has done best in his short time here in Buffalo. So he gets elevated. And Sean, once again, yeah, Sean McDermott has always said, hey, you earn your spot on the – man, oh, man, does he live by that mantra? You earn what you get on this field. When you're not performing, you sit down. You really sit down. That's for everybody. And, man, oh, man, he lives by it.
Yeah, and draft
I'm more
status,
so than any coach I've ever seen.
I agree. Draft status notwithstanding, right? You can be the second rounder. You can be a guy they traded up to get in the second round. And if you're not producing, these guys will walk away from you and take the hits that they might get. Criticism for, hey, wait a minute, you traded up for that guy in the second round, and 2 years later, 2.5 years later, you ship him off for a fifth round. They're okay to do it. Yeah, we did that. And
we got a better guy.
Be said for that. You know,
they feel like they got a better guy.
Yeah, and they got better people in his place. So it's an interesting move, one that's worthy of discussion, and we will discuss it today more. Zay Jones reportedly going to the Raiders. The Bills added to their practice squad already today. They've signed defensive end Wyatt Ray to the practice squad. They had a vacant spot there. He went to Boston College, teammate. He's 6'3" tall, teammate of Tommy Sweeney and Matt Milano. He was undrafted last spring, signed with the Browns as an undrafted free agent, was cut when the rosters went to the final cut. Nine sacks in 12 games in his nine sacks in his final year at Boston College, 17 sacks for his career. And an interesting note, he is the grandson of Nat King Cole, the nephew of Natalie Cole. That's kind of cool. Yeah, Nick and Cole.
Think about it.
Right into our target
think about
audience,
this.
Steve.
We could have had Nick O'Leary and Wyatt Ray, the grandson of Jack Nicklaus and Nat King Cole.
I hear Nat King Cole in my ear right now. Let's listen to Nat King Cole.
Unforgettable. That is the best. Well, that's good. That's a good find by you, Murph.
What? The grandson. Buffalo News had it. That's where I saw it. Wyatt Ray on the Bills practice squad. Let's see if he's unforgettable. His grandfather is the late great Nat King Cole. You don't remember Nat King Cole. I really don't either. My parents were big Nat King Cole fans.
I obviously know who he is, but yeah. No, I don't.
It's kind of cool. I don't know.
It's kind of cool. That is kind of cool.
So welcome to the show. We got a lot to talk about on this bye week. As you said, Kyle Brandt's going to join us at 1 o'clock, and we have a good show tomorrow. That's all I'll say about the rest of today's show.
There you go.
We'll have a good show today as well. Twitter poll deals with where they're at. And by the way, this kind of got my attention today, Steve. And we know, the Buffalo offense is lacking, right? What are they averaging? 15 points a game.
Right.
Or less. They are, and points per game, the Bills are 26th in the NFL. That's not good. But where do you think, I have the numbers, so this is unfair, but where would you guess the Buffalo offense is ranked overall in the NFL in terms of yards per game?
Yards per game.
Yes.
I know they're doing not too bad at that. I would say I'll say 16, right in the middle of the pack.
12th.
Yeah, it's a little bit better than normal,
a little bit which better than I thought. Surprised me today, right?
They are moving the ball.
Number 7 in rushing average per game. They don't pass it as well as they run it. They 8th in first downs per game.
Yeah, that's
all those long
they
drives
do grind
you think
those
about.
Out, yeah.
And points per game is where they lack, 26th overall in points. So work to do, obviously, on the offensive side of the ball. We know that. Now, there's this, too. The defense is number 3 after last night's game, number 3 in the NFL. So top 5 defense still. They were 2 last year. Total yards per game, they are 2nd. Or total yards per play, they are 2nd, rather. 8th in rushing defense, 3rd in pass defense. They've been good at that for a couple of years. Points per game, they're 3rd in the NFL. They're really good defensively. We know that. And that takes us to our Twitter poll today. And we kind of hatched it yesterday, and we were talking about this. 5 games. And we know it's only 5. We're not assessing the season. There's plenty of time to do that. The offseason will be here before we want it to be. But through 5 games, who's been the Bills' best defensive player? Simple question, right? We talked about it. We talked about it today. And here's a little inside baseball. We talked about, should we do position group as the best? Should we do who has outperformed what you thought? No, let's keep it simple, right? Simple polls are better.
Who do you think's the best defensive player?
It's hard to identify that.
We ran out of choices. We couldn't put 11 names out there, right? So we only have 4 spots. So we started I hope they're obvious. We start out with Micah Hyde, Tremaine Edmonds, Tredavious White, and then you pick one.
Yeah.
It
might not be one of those 3.
It might be Matt Milano. Could be, given last week's game, could be Jordan Phillips, for goodness
sake. Lorenzo Alexander's been playing really strong defensively.
So they've got some guys that are
candidates,
but they've got, they're getting such contributions from every place.
Trent Murphy's playing really well defensively.
Yeah.
What do you think? Who's been the Bills' best defensive player through 5 games? Let us know what you think. Phone lines are open, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. On the Twitter poll, which has only been up for a little while, 580 votes in so far. On the Twitter poll, 46% say Micah Hyde, 42% say Tremaine Edmonds, only 4% say Tredavious White, 7% say somebody else. And we want to hear from all of you, whoever you vote for. And maybe the name's not on your list of the best defensive player through 5 games. I'm surprised there's not more backing there for Tredavious White. Look, teams are not throwing his way because those guys aren't open when Tredavious White is on him. So he has not been involved in a lot of plays, but I think he's been a really strong player. Micah Hyde has been sensational, I think. Pro Bowl caliber safety for the Bills. And you know who's right behind him? Jordan Poyer, I think. He's played outstanding. Jordan has been a force in the run game. Jordan Poyer has been a force tackling in the run game. And Tremaine Edmonds has taken giant steps. Look, there's plenty of candidates, right? We have trouble identifying who's the best defensive player on the Bills. I have a hard time telling you.
Yeah, they're playing so well, so disciplined, such team-oriented, particularly run defense, pass rush. They've gotten contributions at different times from different guys in their pass rush. Bam Johnson got in on the act last week. Lorenzo got a sack. And then, of course, Jordan Phillips had 3 of them. They just played really well against Tennessee up front. And then in the back end, they got Levi Wallace is a surprise. A guy who, you can't get him off the field. He's an undrafted rookie free agent who held off a former first rounder, to stay on the field. I mean, they're getting some contributions from some guys who are around. Taron Johnson's been out of the game with a hammy, and look who's – I mean, they've –
Saran Neal's played well.
So they've got some guys who have not only surprised, but also guys like Matt Milano, who you thought might come back coming off a back leg injury. He's played extremely well. I think he's really played well.
He's playing the best football of his career.
I do too. I think he picked up right where he left off last year. And late in the year last year, I remember reading it. Somebody thought, man, the guy's playing at a Pro Bowl level. Don't know if he'll make the Pro Bowl, but man, oh man, there's some guys on this defense that should. But because they don't have any of these statistical, you know, juggernauts out there, maybe they won't. Maybe they won't, but I'll tell you what, they're going to get some notice as a team, as a group. There's no question they're hard to overlook this year.
So it's a simple Twitter poll question. You can vote in the poll. You can send in a tweet. We'll read it on the tweet sheet, perhaps. Or you can give us a call. We got phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Who has been the Bills' best defender through the first five games? Let's start listening to some feedback. Let's go to the tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. Bills' best defensive player so far this year. What do you have on the tweet sheet, Steve?
From Andrew, he says, Tremaine Edmonds has definitely been more productive this season than last. He's making smart plays and attacking the offense. So there's a vote for Tremaine Edmonds. From Jack, he says, Micah, all day. He's the quarterback of the defense. He's seemingly never out of position. But to mention Hyde, you have to add Poyer. Those two are cornerstones of that defense and the reason they're so successful.
Jack's on to something. And Max writes in similarly. Max tweets in, it's Jordan Poyer to me. I can't believe he's not on this poll. We only have room for four selections. Poyer got the game ball in week one for being tasked with slowing down Le'Veon Bell. Closed out the game with an interception against the Giants and had 12, yet 12 tackles against Cincinnati.
Good call.
Good one. That's Jordan Poyer's been outstanding. There's no question about it. Jordan Poyer's been great for the Bills defense
so far.
How about
Max backing up his argument with facts?
Yes. That's unheard of on Twitter. Facts, there's no room for facts on Twitter.
Yeah, we don't really like to go there. Joey also getting in. He says, really like the play from Matt Milano. Seems like he's in on every play. Also, it may be just the high from the Titans game, but Jordan Phillips is looking elite. And I was kind of chuckling because, you know, Jordan Phillips has got to get some play. I mean, the guy was a wrecking crew against the Titans this last weekend. Three sacks and in the first half. It was a great day for Jordan Phillips, a career day,
yep.
Basically.
You remember last week, I'm sure you do, when we had Andy Benoit on from MMQB, and what did he say? He said the best defensive lineman for the Bills so far has been Jordan Phillips.
And we were like, oh, okay.
Okay, well, right. Got our attention.
There's an interesting take. Yeah, okay, that's fine. Then he comes out and has three sacks.
Yeah. Now, I texted Andy yesterday. Unfortunately, Andy was part of that Sports Illustrated shakeup, and he is out at Sports Illustrated. But as I told him in the text, he's been a great guest over the years, but better than that, he's a great football analyst who just grinds tape. And I'm sure Andy Benoit will find a landing spot because that's how good he is. But I said two things. One, sorry to hear that you're gone from SI. I think they laid off 40% of their workforce.
Yeah.
Two, you are absolutely right about Jordan Phillips. Did you see his game? And Andy responded in kind. But we wish Andy Benoit well. As I said, a friend of the show for years now, an astute football analyst, and he was on it when it came to Jordan Phillips last week.
He was ahead of the curve.
Yep.
Of course, we didn't know, and Jordan Phillips probably didn't know he was going to come in and wreck that game like he did for the Titans. But nevertheless, Benoit was all over it, and we had him on as a guest last week, and he was ahead of it, I got to tell you.
Let's take some calls on this question. Bills' best defensive player through five games. We'll go to Joe in Tonawanda. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with us.
Hi, guys. John, I agree with you and with Trey White because they're not throwing his way. And that's making the other guys are really watching the other receivers. So the pressure is, you know, so Trey White is, you know, doing most of it just by his being there. And my question is, Zay Jones, is he going to be eligible to play very soon, or is he just going to be on, you know, practice squad or something?
You mean for Oakland?
A chance to start.
They want him to play.
Oh, he can play right away. This is a trade. We didn't cut him and then get signed to their practice roster. No, he is. No, he's a member of the. When this trade is announced and goes through, he'll be a member of the team and walk right out. He can play this Sunday.
I was looking at the Raiders' depth chart and their needs at wide receiver. So you know, Antonio Brown was their guy, and of course that flamed up, that blew up in their face. Two receivers injured were the Raiders, Tyrell Williams and J.J. Nelson. So this past Sunday, when the Raiders played the Bears in London, their wide receiver core included Trevor Davis, a fifth-round pick, Hunter Renfro. We know him. Where was he? Clemson, I believe. Mm-hmm. Undrafted rookie, Hard Knock standout, Keelan Doss, and practice squad call-up, Marcel Adaman. So they needed help. The Raiders did at receiver. That's why they got Zay Jones. And there was also this I came across. Mike Mayock, Raiders general manager, loves Zay Jones coming out of college. This is back when Mike Mayock was on the NFL Network draft analyst. Mike Mayock, Raiders GM now, back then, 2017, he had Zay Jones ranked as his fourth wide receiver in the 2017 draft. He had him ahead of Juju Smith-Schuster and Cooper Kupp. So Mayock liked him. Bills probably identified that early on and said, why don't we call them? And made that deal and got a fifth rounder out of it. Right. It was clear the Bills had, one snap was an eye opener in Sunday's game, right? Andre Roberts had more snaps, not a whole lot more. Isaiah McKenzie had more snaps. And of course, it was, 10-1, 51 snaps for Duke Williams and one snap for Zay Jones. That was an eye opener for me. Like, wow, this Zay does not figure in their plans. Pretty obvious here.
No,
right?
And also Chris Brown was in yesterday. He said, Zay Jones doesn't play special teams either.
Right.
You've got to. If you're the last guy at a roster spot as a wide receiver, as a defensive back, as a linebacker, as a defensive lineman, you name it. If you're the last guy on that spot down the roster, you've got to play special teams. And Zay Jones didn't or wasn't asked to contribute in that way. And you've got to get 45 guys on game day on the field contributing in some way, shape, or form. And it was at the point now for Zay Jones that he wasn't even going to be asked to help out. So, that the writing was on the wall. When you look back on it, it's a little bit like a racing form, Murph. It's easy to figure it out after it's over.
Right.
but there's always a few possibilities in the company. Like we could have been a Zay Jones could have been, tweaked something in pregame, he'd be ready for an emergency, or it could have been something injury related, health related, or personal related that they didn't want him to play. That we weren't aware of. But as it turns out, it was nothing. It was all of that. It was all about production and all about where they were headed with the roster. And now it looks as though he's going to be traded to the Oakland Raiders. It's not official yet, but it's pretty much a done deal.
And they gave Duke Williams a month on their practice squad to go with the – well, Duke was signed in January, started working out with the team back in April. So he had all the OTAs and all the mini camps and then a month of training camp. And it was only – we talked about it yesterday, week two, really, game two of the preseason where he finally emerged. But they gave him a month in the regular season on the practice squad to kind of see how he practiced. Obviously, they like what they saw. So the Bills receiving core now, John Brown, Cole Beasley, Andre Roberts is your special teamer. Duke Williams, Isaiah McKenzie, and Robert Foster, who is inactive. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Right,
that's a lot of guys.
Yeah, 7 is too many, obviously.
Yeah, and 6 is about right, I guess, for this day and age when you're going to play so many of them. But you think about it too. We had Lee Smith on the show yesterday, and he talked about Duke Williams. He said he's got that it factor, and I get it. He's a strong personality. He's a guy who's got some charisma. And I think, too, guys like that show up big on game day. You know what I mean? Duke certainly has done that in his time here in Buffalo. In the preseason, and we didn't hardly see him take reps at practice. He did a couple of things maybe once in a while, it's like everybody does. When that game light came on, it was a real snap in a real game. He was on.
Yeah.
When the ball goes to him, he fights for it, and he's strong on the ball. He came up big in all the game situations he's been exposed to as a Buffalo Bill, and I think that says a lot about what they expect from him and the kind of player he is. He seems like a big moment guy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the two touchdowns in the preseason were testaments to that. I mean, he was under the radar forever, and he just popped out. He had one chance to do it, and man, oh, man. He looked good doing it, too.
I got to say this, too, and maybe this is what you're saying as well, Steve. To hear, and I'll admit, it caught me a little bit by surprise Sunday in the locker room at Tennessee and yesterday here, and we heard Lee Smith talking about it yesterday on our show, to hear the affinity his teammates have for Duke Williams, to hear the respect and how many you know, he had fans in the locker room, right? People were really rooting for him. That means something on a team that's sort of built on, here it comes, here's that word, culture. It's built on this team culture. It means something when a guy gets that much respect and that much support from his teammates. I think that resonates with the coaching staff, with the personnel department who makes this decision to trade away somebody else, right? They see, wow, Duke really fits in here. People are rooting for him. People really want him to succeed. Let's make a spot for him. And by the way, he played well too. That's the most important thing.
And it showed up, that sentiment by his teammates showed up in the celebration after the touchdown. Man, none of them could have been happier. They were all running right at him too. And he was going crazy too.
I love this. And if you're on MSG, you see him start to take off his helmet.
He gets to the sideline, takes his helmet off,
and then he couldn't find it later.
And he was supposed to go in for a kickoff.
Yep.
And he couldn't find his helmet. Even Josh Allen, what makes his way over there, and he, you know, everybody's just so stoked for him, and it was great to see. And so it really does seem genuine. Lee Smith alluded to it yesterday when we had him on, and you could see it there. And we've seen it at different times over the Sean McDermott era of how happy these guys are for each other's success, and that goes a long way in tough moments.
There's great video that is not safe for work, not safe for our show, but it's end of the game, and somebody from one of the local TV stations in Tennessee shot it from the tunnel looking down up the field. Duke Williams is walking up the field, and behind him is quarterback Josh Allen tells Duke Williams that he loves him. There's an extra word in there, but he tells him, hey, Duke, I love you. I mean, that's crazy, but I think resonates with this coaching staff, and it, not just that Josh feels that way, but the entire team was rooting him on. And I know culture doesn't matter, it really does, but I think that it resonates with this coaching staff and this personnel department when they see how people respond to his success and how much they root for him. I think that is a bit of a factor here.
Yeah,
and he can play. By the way, that's the most important.
He seems to be able to play, and I think. You know, given his success last week and the economy of what he does, the success he has with the economy of opportunities that he gets, he only got four targets. It wasn't like they were targeting him as a number one guy. But they need somebody to make some good catches so that Cole Beasley stops getting doubled all the time.
Right.
Because he gets pounced on because they know how easy those throws are for Josh Allen. And John Brown got loose a little bit early this last week. But then Duke Williams kind of took up the slack.
Yep.
Even so, this team still struggles to get into the end zone.
Yep.
And they've got to score more points. They're looking for solutions. They're shuffling stuff around. It starts with the guys who are out there to get separation for Josh Allen to throw it to. They're trying to do this to get better. This isn't about feel-good story with Duke Williams, although it's part of it. The real part of it is they're trying to get better.
Right.
They got work to do offensively. They've got to score points. And this last week, the tweak that they made this last week worked because it got them the go-ahead and the winning touchdown from Duke Williams.
Yep. All right, we got a lot to talk about, as you can tell. And we got a lot of calls teed up. We're going to get to those when we come back, including the trade away of Zay Jones. We'll talk about that. Our Twitter question, who's the best Bills defensive player through the first five games? Like to hear your thoughts on that. All of it's on the table. John Murphy with Steve Tasker. We're just getting rolling here. It is One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, live from the Seneca Studio on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Steve Tasker. It's bye week. The Bills are 4-1.
Woo-hoo!
No. And it's not unexpected, right? That they're 4-1, right? But it's delightful. I don't know how else to phrase it, right?
It'd been delightful if they'd have scored that last touchdown against the Patriots. It'd have been delightful.
We got a little change over here. It happens at 11:55 a.m. every day when the instigators move off the set and we move on. And just, you know, it's kind of
like an interchange between
us. It's like traffic passing. And I stopped and looked at Andrew Peters, Petey, and he looked at me, and we both just started smiling. We got the Sabres are going well, even with last night's overtime loss, and the Bills are going really well. And we both just said, the sun's in the sky and God's in his heaven and everything's
Let's
cool.
ride this wave, baby. Woo!
You can't help it. You can't help it. Even the instigators here and not at the arena makes a difference. All right, a couple of big things to talk about. We got a lot to talk about here. Who's the best Bills defensive player through five games? Who do you think? We got a Twitter poll about it, but you're welcome to throw in your choice. And the Zay Jones trade, what do you make of that? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550, or send in a tweet. We can read it on the tweet sheet. Here we go, Steve. Phone calls. You ready?
Go.
Are you ready?
I am so
Greg,
ready.
Greg in Buffalo. Go ahead, Greg. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Yeah, I have to agree with you guys. I mean, it was sad to see that Zay Jones didn't work out for us. I was very hopeful for him, especially come out of college. You know, I just had a question, though. I mean, given that we only got a fifth-round pick out of him, which I'm not really upset about because we gave him his chance. It didn't work out. That's fine. Do you think it's likely that we try to pursue another receiver, like maybe an A.J. Green? I don't think we'd go for Stephon Diggs because of the price, but do you think it's likely that, you know, we could even package someone like Robert Foster, as much as I'd hate to say it, but do you think that's a possibility of us letting him go and kind of getting an upgrade for maybe a number one receiver on the roster?
I'll tell you this. It would be my guess. I don't know anything. I haven't spoken to Brandon Bean or Sean McDermott or any of those guys, but I would say this. They've probably made inquiries about all of those guys and know the specifics of what the teams are asking for or whether those guys are actually available at all. But I would not put it past this front office not to have made phone calls about a lot of guys we know and some, more likely, guys we don't even know about that they like. You know what I mean? Like, we all had this thing. Like, I'll give you an example. Last offseason, we all thought they were going to get Matt Paradis from the Denver Broncos because he was this big, high-quality guy, but he was 31 years old. They end up signing Mitch Morse, who I didn't even know existed. He's 26 and played for the best offense in the league last year. He was a better sign than Paradis was for me. So I think that's probably what you can think about. They probably have inquired about guys who are available, and they're probably guys that aren't even on our radar because – they like different things than we are aware of. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. Yeah. The one thing about A.J. Green, too, is he's not ready to play yet. That's got to factor into it, right? Do you want to trade for a guy with a foot injury, right, and a pretty serious one that has kept him out for months now? Yeah, he's got great production in his past, but I don't rule anything out with this group because these guys, they're a little crazy. And they've got, 3 weeks from today is the trade deadline, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So I don't rule anything out, but that would surprise me. And that would surprise me if they traded for
A.J. Green's over 30.
Yeah.
He's a little injury prone in the last 2 or 3 years. He's missed some games, like 18 games or so. And Cincinnati is notoriously hard to bargain with. They get what they want or they don't make the deal. They don't care if the player's happy or if he's not playing or is playing or anything. So there's a lot of factors that kind of stack up against the A.J. Green thing happening. And there's no way you're going to get Julio Jones out of Atlanta. There's, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. I use these same names all the time. T.Y. Hilton. You're not getting those players away from those teams. So throw that away and look down for productive, high-quality receivers who are under your radar, under the radar for the headlines kind of guys. I think those are the kind of guys you're thinking about. Guys like Robert Woods. You know, the guy that we lost. A guy like that would be a gritty addition to this team that we lost and he made a ton of money with L.A. Well, it's a guy you and I both like, right?
Yep.
So guys like that, I think, are more likely to make changes for this team because I think those are the kind of guys with that DNA that this club kind of roots out. They kind of find out about and get.
I was just checking on A.J. Green yesterday. Zach Taylor, Bengals coach, said that he's not going to practice again this week. Still coming back from his ankle surgery. Zach Taylor says he'll be on the rehab field making good progress. Ankle injury early in training camp, and he has yet to play or really practice. Surgery in late July. So he's not. And Zach Taylor says we'll get through without AJ. We'll get AJ through this week. He will not practice, and they hope to have him back next week.
It was like first practice of training camp at Bowling Green College. Remember they were on and the Bowling Green field was a little bit substandard, a little hard, and AJ Green's foot gave out. He tweaked his ankle.
Yeah,
and he didn't even hit the ground. It was non-contact. None of that. It was like a stop and go or something like that. He just had to walk off the field, and he was injured.
And the latest trade rumors for Green center on him maybe going to New England. But whatever. We'll see.
Oh, yeah.
Call here from Bob in Rochester. Hi, Bob. Go ahead. You're on the air with us. Hello, Bob. Bob, once, twice, gone. Steve in Niagara Falls. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how you guys doing, man? Thanks for taking my call.
Great, man. Thanks for calling in.
Steve, I will say one thing. I will be in Canton when you get inducted into the Hall of Fame.
What's the date on that?
Yeah. But
I want to go, too, if I can.
I probably won't be. It's going to be posthumously. So I appreciate you being there for me.
The NFL's 150th
exactly.
anniversary.
Exactly.
I'm going to miss Zay Jones. I wish him luck. He's going to an up-and-coming team. But my big thing is get rid of that jersey that says number 11 on it.
Why is that?
That's a bad jersey. It's bad mojo. It's just a bad mojo. Get rid of that.
Who is it? What, Rob Johnson was 11, right?
Yes. And well,
what was Roscoe Parrish? Was he 11?
Yeah.
Yes.
Who else?
Mr. Norwood.
Oh, come on. Was he 11? Was Scott Norwood 11?
He was.
Okay.
Mr. Norwood was.
He's a great guy. Norwood's a guy. I just talked to him.
Forgot. Yeah, I saw him.
He was in town a couple weeks ago.
He's
hands
for
great
the
guy.
Alumni guy.
That's not bad mojo.
Number 11.
And finally, like the defensive player, it's hard to pick one out of them, but I would pick Edmonds.
Edmonds.
I think he's fabulous. He's all over the field. That guy is good. He's up and coming. He's not going anywhere. If Buffalo gets rid of him, whoo. That'd be the...
No, they're not getting rid of him.
No.
And Steve's got something to say about this, too. But you mentioned how Zay's going to the Raiders, an up-and-coming team. He's leaving a team that is even more up-and-coming. I would say that. But go ahead, Steve. You had something to say to some of his issues.
I agree with you. Tremaine Edmonds has been a guy who's starting to spread his wings. And we've seen him defend a couple of passes. I thought he probably should have picked off the Tom Brady pass. Last week he had a chance to get the Mariota pass. Same thing. He just kind of snugs up the line, shuffles over with the eyes, and gets up into the passing lane. I think he's playing extremely well. Zay Jones, you're right. He's going to a Raiders team that is thin at wide receiver right now. He'll stand out there athletically. We rarely are glad to see people go. And Zay Jones is one of those guys. Certainly didn't work out the way we wanted it to, but he was never drafted to be the number one. He was drafted to be a number two behind Sammy. And the team on offense of his side of the ball really went through a dark age there with Tyrod, and then last year with the four different quarterbacks that were starting and Josh just getting his feet under him as a starting quarterback. So there was a lot of things working against him here in Buffalo. But I tell you what, too, this is a team – If there's anybody, and we here in Buffalo see it, this is a team that's on the rise. Oakland certainly thinks they've bottomed out and they're starting to get it together and put their team together the way they want to, but they are at least a whole season behind where the Buffalo Bills are right now.
You know, he's talking. We're talking about Zay Jones and his almost 2.5 seasons in Buffalo, and his first season here, his rookie season. Zay Jones caught 27 passes, but I'm just looking at the wide receiver roster at that point. Deontay Thompson was a starter at wide receiver. He's like a good guy, journeyman at best, though, right? Mm-hmm. Who else was a wide receiver on that team? Jordan Matthews, they acquired in a trade, didn't do much here. Still trying to hang on around the league. Calvin Benjamin. The point is, the receiving core is dramatically upgraded, and Sammy Watkins obviously as well for at least the first couple of weeks that year. But the receiving core is dramatically upgraded for the Bills since then. We were talking in our office about 11 or so this morning about Zay Jones first getting here and who he was in the room with at wide receiver. He had a different coach then, obviously, right? Different wide receivers coach. And now that it's only 2 years ago, it seems like 20 years ago,
yeah.
Doesn't it? It seems like
a long time.
Ago. Yeah. So much has changed.
So much has the team has changed around him in that room. The building has changed. The coaching staff has evolved. I mean, it's everything's different, and it kind of grew away from where he was at. I mean, he's one of the guys that didn't survive the transition into what the offense is becoming, and this team I keep going back to it. This team is not afraid to pull the trigger on getting guys on the field that need to be on the field. You earn your way onto the field in this team, and you earn your way off of it. And that's I think, what happened to Zay Jones. You look back, you said he had 27 catches in 2017. He had 118 targets, and he only caught 27 of those footballs. And it's that kind of ratio continued into this year as well. He was on the wrong end of three of the four interceptions last week against the Patriots. He was the guy they were trying to get the ball to. So it was not working out here, and the numbers bear that out, and so did the naked eye, just the anecdotal watching him.
He's on his Zay Jones had his college coach, Phil McGagan, as the receivers coach here in 2017, his first year here. Right now. Right now they have Chad Hall. And you know what? And one play stands out to me a lot. I was thinking about this last night with Zay Jones. So it had to be his second game in 2017, and it wasn't his fault. You know, we're not assigning fault here, but it would have been a changing play if he had made it. The Bills 1-0 go to Carolina, week two. It's a 9-3 score, fourth quarter, and Tyrod Taylor is the quarterback, and Tyrod tries to find Zay Jones deep downfield for the go-ahead game-winning touchdown pass in the final seconds of the game, and it just didn't connect. Wasn't a drop, I don't think. We're looking at it here on MSG. Wasn't a drop. It didn't fall into his hands. I remember the extensive analysis of that play and that throw, that potentially game-winning play, after it was over, and people thinking just a misconnection between Tyrod and Zay Jones. Only a second game. If he makes that play, I would argue that he's still a Buffalo Bill. But it was like the first sign that it just wasn't all right there for Zay Jones. You're giving me a skeptical look.
Yeah, I don't know if a play that long ago would make a difference. Although
again,
maybe.
It's 2 years ago.
Right.
That long ago.
Yeah, and I think also the reason that play didn't work is also the reason he's not here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Ball skills.
Yeah.
The ability to elevate your play. Certainly, you know, he didn't get as a wide receiver in the offense when Tyrod Taylor was here. Yeah, it was a struggle. Tyrod didn't throw it until you had made such huge separation that there was no way. And then after you were open, then he threw the football. It was really difficult to play wide receiver in that offense. That play that we just saw, you and I just watched, it was a throw that was behind him where it had to be, and he was a little late to adjust to it, probably for the reason that the same reason. Tyrod just waited to throw it. It was a corner route that Tyrod threw high and behind him, and Zay just couldn't get there. He had two hands on it, but he couldn't elevate to get it. And that's, you know, those kind of plays are the ones you need a guy like that to make. And then there were some others that were just playing drops. You know, there were others that were even more egregious.
Zay Jones had three different position coaches in his 2.5 years in Buffalo, right?
Yeah.
And that means something, too. And this is not an attempt to find excuses for him, but the fact that he never fired, that he never really took off the way they were hoping, a second-round pick, with all of that production. Again, his numbers at East Carolina were amazing, amazing. FBS records for as many catches. I know, different level. I get all that. I'm going to look it up. It'll blow you away. In 2016, he had
158
catches, 1,700 yards. He set a FBS record, 399 catches during his college career. Amazing production, and we never really saw it here. Different level, I get it.
I get it. He's big enough. He was a very willing blocker in the run game, as we've seen even this year. But it was just one of those things where I said this a lot. You said three different position coaches. I get that. Plus, he had some guys in the room with him that were, you know, Kelvin Benjamin. You can say, okay, he was a number one draft pick and a number one wide receiver, but he got here to Buffalo. He did not have that persona about him where he was grinding it out. He was going to go. He was going to play hard. You know, Kelvin Benjamin always looked like he was in idle.
There were no good role models for him.
Sammy
Watkins, I don't think, was a good role model for him.
There
for
were
a couple
no
of months.
Good mentors no. for him in that room his entire first two full years here.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk more about Zay Jones being traded away. We'll talk about your pick for the Bills' best defensive player through five games. All of that as the show moves along. We got Kyle Brandt coming up at 1 o'clock from NFL Network. Come on back. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health, live from the Seneca Studio, Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing comes close.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, it's time for New York Lotto Inside the Numbers. John Brown, 75 yards receiving against the Tennessee Titans in game high. Now John Brown, Smoke, has 50 or more yards in all five games he's played this year. John Brown is the first Bill to open a season with such a streak since Lee Evans did it in 2008. Lee Evans had seven consecutive games of 50 or more yards. It's the sixth time a Bill has had 50 or more yards receiving in the season's first five games. There's a guy that fits in. John Brown.
Yes, he does. Yeah, he does.
You know, and it's funny. It's not funny. We were talking about Duke Williams earlier. Did you see who I think he might have been the first one to jump him after the touchdown?
Brown.
John Brown. Smoke. You know, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Let's take some phone calls. Let's go to Zaire in Buffalo. Zaire, I hope I got your name right. Did I?
Hey, yes, you did. You did.
Great. Thanks for coming on the air.
How you guys doing today? Thanks for having me.
You sure. Bet.
No problem. I just wanted to talk about Duke Williams. I think that Duke Williams could be Josh Allen's favorite target in the red zone. Just like Josh Allen seems to turn it on in the fourth quarter, and when the lights come on, I think Duke Williams does the same, and those guys could be the perfect match. And I also think our entire receiving group as a whole is just right as it is right now. We have a guy for every possibility on the field that can go long. We have red zone guys. We got guys that can work the middle of the field. And we have complementary tight ends and backs in the backfield. So I think our offense is rounding out to be pretty nice right now.
All right, Zaire, good point. The receiving core is worth talking about, Steve, especially with the trade of Zay Jones. And look what you got here. You got Smoke. We talked about him. And you got Cole Beasley, we know his role, right? Mm-hmm. Robert Foster, who inactive the last two games, as he comes, I think he's got a groin, right? He has something to add when he's healthy, I think, Robert Foster. I'm not writing the end of his chapter yet. Duke Williams, we saw what he can do. Isaiah McKenzie and Andre Roberts. I mean, six of them. I know people get excited, and the trade deadline is only going to get more activity, yakking about trade for this guy, trade for that guy. I get that. Right. 3 weeks away. But like Zaire, I can live with the group they have right here. I think John Brown is a more than capable number one receiver on the team. And I, like Zaire, I think Duke Williams demonstrated in one short appearance, four catches, that he can be the red zone target. I really do.
I agree. And they've got enough speed. John Brown's fast. Andre Roberts has got some speed. Of course, Robert Foster, Isaiah McKenzie. They've got enough speed to put on the field. Cole Beasley, great possession receiver. It's been my observation when Cole Beasley's on the field, he gets doubled.
Yeah.
Teams who have seen the early games of the Buffalo Bills have really noticed how much Josh Allen is willing to lean on Cole Beasley. If they don't cover him up, he's getting the ball and he's getting it right now. So that
that's what Tennessee did.
It crushes a defense on two ways. One, it's an easy completion with a chance at an easy first down if Cole Beasley makes one guy miss. Secondly, the ball's out of Josh Allen's hands. It's an easy throw, easy completion, and they get no chance to make Josh Allen run around and try and throw the ball deep late over the middle for an interception. That takes that right away from the defense when Cole Beasley is not doubled. So the Titans were all over him. They were jumping him quick. Which is why one of the reasons John Brown was having some success early in that game last week. So they've got – I'm kind of with Zaire on this, the caller. They've got skill sets. The problem when you get guys like this in a situation like this right now is maybe you become a little predictable. Like, you know, you're not really going to worry about Duke Williams when you're out in the field. Maybe in the red zone he becomes your number one guy or your number one focal point of your defense, but not out in the field. Then you focus on Cole Beasley. I think they've got enough, though. Like he says, I think they got enough. When you add the tight ends and the running backs in that mix, they got enough to worry about and enough dependable guys that Josh Allen should be able to find a guy as long as this team, and they haven't been, doesn't become predictable. If they don't say, well, out of this formation, they always go to the tight end, or at this formation, they always go to the slot receiver. If this formation, they always go to the wide single receiver, that kind of thing. I don't think they're at that point yet, although, you know, I don't know the analytics and the down breakdown, but I think that's the only risk you run with a group of receivers who are kind of specialized like this one seems to be.
Gotcha. All right, a break here. We got Kyle Brandt standing by to join us in the next hour. He is, of course, an NFL Network host. He is the co-host of Good Morning Football. He joins us every Tuesday at 1, and what do you know? It's Tuesday, and it's almost 1 o'clock. Come on back. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, coming to you from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.